they've just opened a prayer and everything, but I need to pray too. So, so I'm going to start in prayer again, all right?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege to speak to these ladies. Thank you for this Titus 2 model that I am older, I guess, even though I don't want to admit it, dear Heavenly Father, but please use me to encourage these young women to love their husbands, love their children, and be pure, sensible workers at home. Dear Heavenly Father, may this time be pleasing in your sight. May you use me to speak truth, dear Heavenly Father, to give these women both spiritual and very practical, physical application, Lord, of manners, of courtesy, of training and teaching our children how to be polite and how to consider others, how to love others. So I pray, Lord, that you will just use me as a vessel to speak truth to these ladies, and may you open their hearts and minds, for we know that we all must model that first. Our children cannot learn what we don't be an example of. So, dear Heavenly Father, may we all be convicted. I know myself, I've been convicted lately of just my lack of manners, my lack of honoring and glorifying you in my thoughts and my deeds and my actions. So may we all be challenged today, Lord, and leave here just encouraged and ready to obey you more in these areas of our lives. So bless us, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for the ladies you've provided here. And thank you that they're willing to come and hear and learn and be challenged by your word. So bless our time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, and that's my goal, ladies, is I want to give lots of spiritual encouragement, because as we know, all this has to do with obeying this, the word of God. But I want you to leave with very practical ideas. So everyone has three handouts, and I'm going to be going back and forth. Actually, these are more, most of it's more for you to take home and just review. It's just some ideas and that type of stuff. We're going to highlight a few of the areas, but I wanted to leave you with something. So we're going to start, I think Meg titled it as Manners in the Home, but actually it's not just in the home. You need to be thinking of others everywhere in all of life, right? So it's, we are going to get down to some nitty-gritty types of manners and that type of thing. I may go ahead and jump to the secular dictionary definition. That's actually on that second page toward the bottom. So these things are not in order. You see on the bottom it says, what is good manners and etiquette? And it says, manners are an expression of inner character. So I thought that's interesting, that even from the unbiblical mindset, it is about your character. Manners are an expression of inner character, respect, kindness, and consideration from the basis of good manners and good citizenship. Etiquette becomes the language of manners. Rules of etiquette cover behavior in talking, acting, living, and moving. In other words, every type of interaction and every situation. That's covering pretty much all of life, isn't it? In the way we should teach and train our children. So now jump to that first page. Let's look. And I'm going to read from some of this. And I also want to read from a few other help areas. Before we get into, I want us to list out from the Word of God some of those character issues and the pros and cons, and then bring that into little applications you see with your own children and what you want later. And I want to end with just some question and answer time and then lots of other examples. So I want lots of interaction. So even as we're reading through this, if you guys have a question, feel free to, you know, jump in or say, Mary, what about this? And then I'll know whether we're going to get to that or not. And we'll just pray the timing works out. Never know how much time it takes to cover material. I got this little Bible study on manners online. It looked good. It's not that I'm advocating. This is from the little homeschool library called wholesomechildhood.com. So you guys have that link. It's not that I am saying this is a, you know, all biblical standard and that type of stuff. I was just zeroed in on these two pages back and forth, and it's like, this looks good. So please don't think, oh, I need to go to that website and get all my information, because it could, you never know. So let's look at this. This little study is intended to help you understand what the Bible says about manners.
So I'm going to read these questions, and we're not going to answer each one, but just in your mind, I think you know the answers anyway. Does God think manners are important? Do our manners affect our relationships with others? Do our manners reveal anything about our character? Do our manners affect how others view us? What kind of manners are important anyway? Should we really be concerned about which fork we need to use for an appetizer, or what kind of jacket is needed at a formal party? Or is there something bigger and more important about manners that we need to be aware of? Manners at their core are much more significant than just being able to follow certain rules and regulations in our dealings with others. Our manners are an indication of what is inside us. They show others our thoughts and opinions, and often reveal our true hearts and character. I just read that definition that talked about inner character. We know inner character has to do with our hearts. We know the Word of God is all about revealing what's in the heart. Your life is in overflow. You guys know Proverbs 23:3, is it? About out of the overflow of the heart, the well springs of life. Do you know what exactly?
Proverbs 4:23, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Out of the heart, out of the springs
of life. Out of the springs of life. Boy, it's funny, I have it down typically, but when you're put on the spot.
There's too much in your mind. That's what my mind.
It's what shepherding a child's heart base is there. That's their theme verse. Out of the overflow of the heart is the wellsprings of life. It's something like that, but. Oh, I could open my Bible, but let's go on.
Yes.
How our society values good manners is really not the issue. What you and I think about displaying good manners is also irrelevant. Ultimately, the important is God's opinion on the subject. Are we going to listen and obey His word? And I put after that, we need to glorify God in everything, right? In our thoughts, deeds, and actions. So then it goes on to, I'll go ahead and read the next paragraph. In this study, you'll find almost 40 verses from the scriptures that deal with manners. Actually, the Bible rarely uses the word manners. But it does give us a great deal of advice about how we should conduct ourselves and behave around others. These by no means cover everything the Bible says about our manners and behavior, but these all speak clearly on the subject. Your job is going to be to examine each of these, see how they relate to one another, pick out some common themes, and then draw some conclusions. Remember that when we look into God's Word, we must do so with the intent of obeying whatever He tells us to do. We don't have the right to pick and choose what is convenient for us and what is easiest for us to obey. So here's how to use this study, and I do. For those of you that have a little bit of older children, or put this aside when your baby's not nursing anymore and you can have some interaction. It says read the question, discuss before reading the verse, look up each verse and read it. And you always want to show your children in the Bible. You want to actually have the Bible open and be reading it, because you want your children, that's part of the training, to know how important that book is. Have your child repeat back the verse in his own words. Look at the question again and summarize the Bible statements on that question. Determine how these verses should apply to your behavior. Pray and ask the Lord to help you to obey His word. And then it gives some other examples. So the first question, we're just going to go over the first three. And I've already looked up those verses, but as you can see, it goes on the other side, too. What shows other people a child's true character? And that's out of Proverbs 20:11. And Proverbs 20:11 says, it is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself, if his conduct is pure and right. So as we know, it's the same for adults, isn't it? Your character is revealed by your conduct, your behavior, how you're treating others. What is the most important rule of manners? Here's Luke 6:31. And just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. Don't we call that like the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And just a little quick on the back of this one. And it looks like this is from a long time ago, because it's prices. I thought that was 5 cents. Maybe I don't know what it is. But it looks like it's from, and actually when you read the things, it's like, okay, this was written a long time ago.
Salute your ministers. When you meet them, and they will salute you for
But at the bottom, do you see how even it says, all these rules respecting your conduct towards others are included in the one golden rule. So everyone knows that. Always do to others as you would wish them to do to you if you were in their place. Whenever, therefore, you are in doubt as to how you should act towards others, ask yourself the question, how should I like them to act towards me if I were in their place? And then do what your conscience tells you is right. We hope we have a biblical conscience. It's not that everybody has a biblically informed conscience, but again, this would be from a secular worldview, but it just shows how manners and character is a global thing, isn't it? Doesn't matter whether your people care about how you treat other people. And the secular world will try to treat, you know, teach and train all the same manners. So what's the difference between wanting good manners from a worldly point of view and wanting good manners from a biblical point of view? That's a question I kind of want some feedback from you guys. Jenny?
Who you're trying to honor. Are you trying to honor the Lord, or are you trying to honor other people, or even yourself, because you want to treat others kind and reap what you sow, and then they'll treat you kind?
So the motive is definitely to honor God, whereas a non-Christian that's also being kind and saying please and thank you and very considerate or whatever will be really doing it for themselves, although they won't admit that because they're saying I want to be, you know, kind to others. But it is a self-worship because they're not in the worship of God. So how can we train a baby on up if we don't know if they're a Christian, yet they need to do it to honor God? How does that work? Does it take, in order to have good manners to honor God, do you need to be conscientious and make it his grace coming out of you? But then you've got your 2-year-old or 3-year-old. Anybody have any ideas on that? Does it make a difference in the way we teach or train on whether the child is going to honor God or whether the child is going to do it for themselves? And does it make a difference for you as parents?
I mean, it shouldn't, technically. Because, I mean, you know, kids are born as unbelievers, so, I mean, we should just be constantly pointing them to the Word of God as those situations arise during the day.
So our responsibility as parents doesn't change, whether they're Christians or not.
Yeah.
We must do what the Word of God says in teaching and training. I love the way these two books word all that, so I'm going to read that answer also from here, but that's it in a nutshell. I gotta keep these glasses on. This is about getting older. Many people want the well-behaved children because of pressures, don't they? Oh, other people see that, and I've got to have. So is that a right motive for being, you know, oh, I want to be able to go out in public and not be embarrassed by my children? That's somewhat true, but that's not the motive, is it? We want to please God with our children out in public and all that type of thing. And under well-behaved children, it says, if your goal is well-behaved kids, you are open to hundreds of temptations to expediency. There won't be that long-term goal. There won't be that consistency. Because you're on your kid right then and there, you know, at that restaurant saying, you know, or whatever the case may be. And that it's a duty of loving your neighbor. This is the constant dialogue you'll be giving your children. They're to love God and love others. This is about, you know, obeying God's command. So you also add that into all your dialogue and training, whereas in the secular world they wouldn't. They're just saying this is what you have to do, more or less for man, to be pleasing to man. But we want to love God and love others. So it includes both. You're pleasing to man because of your love for God. Love God, love others. So that's the constant dialogue you will use. And this answered well that question about, well, if you have to rely on God's grace, and if you want to glorify God, you really need to be a believer, then what are you doing about your children? I love the way this is in the parent handbook. So this was the regular book. See how old a version I have? It doesn't look like this anymore. But, You have probably noted that the character goals generated from these passages, and we're going to get into some of those passages, rooted in true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does this leave us if our children do not believe? Think of it this way. Calling your children to be what they cannot be, fully and honestly, without the work of God, is a means of showing them how much they need the work of Christ to change, transform, and empower them. The law of God is the schoolmaster that leads to salvation. Are you guys familiar with that? That's from Galatians 3, 23 and 25. The law is a tutor for us to see our need for Christ. Showing them what they ought to be will make their inability to be what they ought to be obvious. So, because they'll struggle, won't they? It's natural to be selfish and not want to share that. It's natural to just zip out the door and let it slam behind the person behind you, you know, and all that type of thing. We've got to be training our children and realize that it's going to be training their minds to be thinking about others, but you want them to get to that point where they're struggling, saying, I can't do this. And that's when we want them to be crying out to God, save me, I am a sinner. This will be exposing their sinfulness all the time because they'll see their natural tendency. It's providing you with the opportunity to show both their need of Christ and the transforming power of grace. So that's such the encouragement, whether our kids are believers or not, especially young, and you won't know. And that's why I love that book, Withhold Not Correction, that says I won't have full peace or assurance, this is my words, that my children are Christians till they're long out of the house in adulthood and making their own decisions. And I'm finding that so true, even in my own children. You know, you've raised them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and you've taught them everything. And that's why that other book that Matthew taught once on, The Faithful Parent, yes. You remember what the main goal is? And it's in the title. You are called to be faithful. Because you can't change it's the work of God in the hearts of the children. So it's your duty and responsibility to be faithful to the Galatians 6, to raise them in the fear and admonition, the discipline and instruction, because it needs both, discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that's what all this manners is going to be about.
Yes, I was just going to add to that, just what you were saying, like that's such an important point to remember about the law. You're presenting God's standard to them so that they get to that point where they have to come up against it and they realize they can't do it in their own strength, so they know they need Christ. But especially when they're little, as a parent, are appealing to an authority outside yourself. You're not just saying, just do what I say because I told you. You're, from a very early age, starting to help them to see what I am requiring of you is the same thing that God requires of me. And that's why I'm calling you to the standard, because you're under my care and you're in my stewardship. So even just, you know, what is the most important thing that you need to be doing in your life right now? Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Like, beyond that, everything I'm telling you from the Bible, like, you are called to obey. And that's the standard. It's not from me. It's not originating from me. So just even from an early age, helping them to see, like, the authority of Scripture, and this is what God calls us to.
Amen. Because if you don't state that and teach that, and they think, okay, I have to obey mom, I'm under this authority, I can't wait till I'm 18 and I'm out of here, you know. Then they think, okay, the standard is mom and dad. So they may conform to that, but then say, when I'm on my own, there's no way. You want them to have that fear of God's authority all the time. And that mom and dad are also under God's authority. Because they need to leave your house. Because that's what you're doing, is you're preparing your children for adulthood. Even in all these manners. Because you know that's going to enable them to do much more in life if they are considerate and loving others. I mean, they'll be a better employee and maybe someday owner or manager or, you know, and whatever, and also as a husband and wife and as a mother and father later. So all those things.
And it'll be easily noticed the way our culture is now.
Yes.
You know, our young adults have those manners. That's noticed.
This is one of my favorite books. I didn't bring my old copy, but it also will put the pressure on the parents. It's a heavy responsibility we have in constantly and consistently teaching and training these things. And also the constant teaching and training when you're thinking of others with all these manners, whether it's saying please or thank you or whether it's any one of those other things. I'll read this little paragraph. It's in training a child to courtesy. In training a child to courtesy, it is of little use to tell him to be forgetful of himself, but it is of value to tell him to be thoughtful of others. The more a person tries to forget himself, the surer he will be to think of himself. Often, indeed, it is the very effort of a person to forget himself that makes that person painfully self-conscious, and causes him to seem bashful and embarrassed. Because if a child is bashful or embarrassed or constantly thinking, am I doing this right or whatever, they're so focused, aren't they? You don't want to be raising your child to be so fearful of man and conscientious that, oh, I'm not doing the right thing or that type of thing. Here's the key. But when a child thinks of others, his thoughts go away from himself. And self-forgetfulness is a result rather than a cause of his action. And that's going to be hard to teach and train, but that's what you want, is them not to be, you know, not putting these standards and you got to be da-da-da-da-da. It's living and modeling the care for others naturally. You know, that's the, even a definition I've heard of humility before. It's, you don't even think of yourself. It's just automatic, you know, to be humble in others. There's not, because your mind is trained and you're so automatically, you know, just kind of a vessel of grace to others. Now, children are going to have different dispositions and different personalities and all those type of things, aren't they? So you're going to be struggling in different ways with different children. And that's all for your good, isn't it? The reason you'll have one child that's, is out here and the other child's compliant and another, you know, is for your own sanctification. Because you need to be faithful, you know, in all these things. We often tell children, or parents with difficult children, oh, it's because God knew you needed this to be transformed yourself, and encourage them, you know, in that way. Okay, so let's get to some of these characteristics of, and I want to show both sides. I don't, not everyone has Bibles, but
we can look it up on our phones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to do this list of the character issues type of thing needed and kind of give what God commands, what is it, and then what it looks like here. So, you know, why don't we brainstorm and then I'll see, then I'll look at verses and I'll see how well we did on hitting some of the biblical things. So what type of character things are needed for having good manners?
Kindness.
You must be kind, yes. We'll do the opposite after we make this list, because then this will be the opposite side. What other type of things?
Obedience.
Pardon me?
Obedience.
Obedience.
Humility.
Thankfulness.
Is it two L's?
No, just one.
Okay. I'm going to reveal my ignorance and everything. What? The type of character you're wanting for your children.
Patience.
Honesty. It's a big one, isn't it? Respectfulness, yes, be respectful. Parents and authority, how they speak to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's, someone look at Colossians 3, like we'll read 12 through 15, and we'll add a few more. Someone want to read that out loud?
So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Okay, start back up. That they had compassion. What was the next one?
Kindness.
Yeah, we have kindness.
Gentleness.
And we have, so let's see how many we did the biblical verse. Kindness.
Humility.
Gentleness we don't have, right? That's a big one for kids, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Our kids aren't always gentle. we have patience. That was in that list. A heart of compassion. That was in that list. My version said bearing with one another. Is that what yours said?
Yes, bearing with one another.
Bearing with one another. I won't have time to really.
Forgiving.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's the one another's. There's quite a few one another's in the Bible. That's also just a good study, something to do with your own homeschool devotions. All those lists of one another's. I know I've seen some list of 65 of them. I've seen other lists more. I've seen other lists less, you know, in different categories. A lot of what you should do with one another. After bearing one another, forgiving. And we have to teach each other. We're going to sin against our kids. They must forgive us, right? Forgiving one another. It said about put on love, didn't it? And it is something we have to put on, isn't it? It's not something that comes naturally. Another term in these types of lists, tolerance and commitment. There's some verses with that, but Colossians, I got Ephesians 4:12 was the bearing one another, showing forbearance, and put on love. So some of these came from Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4. And this list, actually, and it's good we added these others. Matthew and I took this graduate course. We're in this biblical counseling. And for the class of conflict resolution, these are issues. When people come in with conflicts, you're starting to go down these characteristics. And evaluating people and making them evaluate themselves. So, to think if we really focus our children on this, they'll probably have less baggage in their marriage and less conflict with other people if they really understand these type of characteristics. Okay, if you're not kind, what are you? Typically, you know, mean, cruel,
unkind,
even hateful. We ever see our... For those with older children and siblings, maybe going after one another or even with friends or that type of thing. Their kindness is a big thing in manners. Obedience, of course, disobedience, you know. Humility, what's the opposite?
Pride.
Pride, and that's the root of a lot of things. I don't want to do that for that person, you know. They don't deserve it. They were mean to me. All these type of attitudes really becomes bad manners, doesn't it, in how they're treating people. They're not being forgiving then. They're not bearing one another. A lot of these go together. Do you see how manners, even saying please and thank you, is about being thankful? So, of course, that's kind of obvious. If you're thankful, you're not. You're ungrateful. Patience. What's the opposite of patience? Demanding is a good word, yes. But impatient. Mm-hmm. Honesty, of course. Not only lie, but when we get to some of those lists, do you ever notice how children can cheat if you're playing games?
Yes.
That's a big thing. That's not manly, is it? But that's also a big character issue. Respectful in how they speak to people. Isn't that a lot about the tongue? And if you noticed on that little Bible study sheet, a lot of it has to do with how do we speak to others? What should we not ask? Who is most hurt when we are hurtful to others? We could put all these in this little Bible study I gave you. These will be type of characteristics that will have to go with that. Disrespectful. Compassion. Do you ever notice when some people, they just don't care? They have a don't care attitude about anybody or anything. And that really, that becomes, we didn't put selfishness, did we? But even a lack of compassion is really rooted in selfishness. Gentleness, of course, you know how people can be harsh. And even adults, be harsh with their words or too direct or just, you know, controlling, all those types of things. The same with the heart of compassion. Oh, that's the, oh, I had that twice. Whoops. Bearing one another. Forgiving, of course, you can be unforgiving and hold grudges and let bitterness build, all those type of things. You've got to put on love, tolerance. Commitment is a big one, because in manners, like even simply playing a game, you don't quit, do you? There's a lot of quitters in life. Oh, I don't feel like doing that. Or, you know, that type of thing. It can be not having good manners with whoever you're with, just because you said, I want to stop now, and, you know, walk out of the room or whatever.
Self-control would be most good one.
Yes. And really, they all encompass self-control. All manners really is a form of self-control, isn't it? Okay. So there's, now let's flush this out as we get now nitty-gritty into some real particular manners. I'm going to just point to two or three areas of this first, the list, about 25 manners every kids should know by the age of 9. This is from Parents Magazine, so I wanted to see, okay, what is it? Secular. So I'm going to point out a couple things that a lot of it's overlapping, a lot of it's the same. Yes, you should say please and thank you if you see that on the first few. Look at number 6. The world is not interested in what you dislike. Keep negative opinions to yourself or between you and your friends and out of earshot of adults. What is that training the child? If it's out of earshot of adults, it means it's okay to be really negative and, you know, with it's not teaching them that authority thing at all, is it? It's one thing. You always want your kids to be able to share everything and never be able to feel like they have. That's the whole problem, a lot of that peer dependency, or they go to their friends for counseling instead of letting their parents know of struggles in school or struggles with different friendships and that type of stuff. So I thought, wow, if they realize, if they're showing this to their kids, and if that's what they're saying, oh, it's okay to have some conversations or something with someone else, as long as adults don't hear. We know that that's not correct at all. Anything they say to anybody should be whatever the adults or anyone, and we know also training your children, God sees and knows everything. He knows your thoughts before you think them. That's why we need to even have the biblical thinking. And look at number 13. Never use foul language in front of adults. And I'm like, oh, so it's okay with all your friends. And it's like, so it's, and here's what it said. Grown-ups already know all those words and they find them boring and unpleasant. Like, oh my. And even number 16, even if a play or an assembly is boring, sit through it quietly and pretend that you are interested. The performers and presenters are doing their best. I don't ever want to, you want to teach your children, you know, to have proper courtesy, but you don't want to ever teach them to pretend to be one way, you know, versus another. You can have it maybe something that isn't particularly your interest, and it might be boring, but you don't pretend that way. You still have good manners and still appreciate what you see and see how it would be all the proper biblical thinking. Not putting on something that you're not, you know, or acting like you're something you're not. But many of the others, you know, if you bump into somebody, say, excuse me, cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze, all that type of stuff is what we would teach as well. But I wanted to kind of point that out, because there is a difference in, on the back of that page, the good manners, this National Guild one, again, it says courtesy, boys and girls will always be careful to observe the following rules. And we just listed a lot of these type of things too. So even in the secular world, as to themselves, be honest, thoughtful, pure, do not use bad language. They didn't stipulate, they just said do not use bad language. which was good. Under at school, if the same thing, be respectful. And you can teach, you know, yes, you teach them to be respectful, but isn't one of the best ways is when they are disrespectful, then you show them the difference? You guys know that in teaching manners or anything, you, especially when you see your child do wrong, you still in kindness and gentleness come across, even when they speak to you disrespectful. And you say, you know, even if they're like, no, mommy, I don't want to do that or something. You say, you stop and you repeat it back. Do you hear what you said? Now, is that pleasing to God? Is that respectful? Does God command you? What should you say? How should you? If it's, you know, so then you give them the right way as well. So you're training them how to think so they recognize, okay, what I did wrong and the way it should be. And that will be all your life. Even in adulthood, you'll still be, you know.
Yeah, I've been doing it for my 20-year-old.
Yeah. And even some of these manners.
It's always very polite when he comes over to our house, so.
Oh, I know. When he had his accent, I was so blessed when he was talking to the agent. Yes, ma'am. Okay, ma'am. And I'm like, So it's like you said, Mary, you see the fruit of your labor. But then they're talking to their friends, and they're, and I'll text him and say, okay, I'm hearing some stuff. And he's like, and all of a sudden he's kind. You know, he needed that, you know, kick-in reminder with his friends.
And it's when you raise your children and you start seeing them as teens and young adults, I'm going to use Paul as a negative example. It's on the tape, isn't it?
That's okay. He's good.
When Mason was home over break several times, you know, 10 or so teens and young adults would come over and they'd play board games in the living room. And Paul was either coughing or sneezing. Did he have a pretty bad cold a couple
this
weeks ago?
Time? Yeah, he was getting over the flu. And it wasn't before the flu.
And I was in the kitchen just kind of in and out. And either he was coughing or sneezing or something, but wasn't covering his mouth.
Oh,
so Ryan Walsh says to Paul, don't you cover your mouth? That type of interaction that even these teens and friends can be holding each other to proper manners. So
these are good friends to do that.
Yes.
That's such a blessing. The kids in this church, they're always admonishing him and each other on things, and I love it.
I'm sure with the purest of motives, I'm sure that was.
Oh, yeah. Lots of love.
Yeah, lots of love.
But, you know, to even for them to recognize that or that type of thing was really.
Just being comfortable with them. So it's kind of like, you know. It's like, dude, the tissue box is really big. Then the tissues are on the floor. You're so warm,
right? Right, right.
You're scaring those of us who have baby boys. Don't
tell
them.
True.
So those type of things you'll be constantly, you know, saying to the child and everything. But it's nice, yes, if you raise them that they can say those type of things to each other. And even at the table, here is, put your hand before your mouth when you sneeze or cough, that's on here too. I'm not going to read through all these, but it was interesting to see a lot of this stuff. The opening door under everywhere, it talks about opening the door. Here's just a little plug on for us to be proactive in helping our children have good manners. Like even if you're walking into church, maybe using the side door and there's a family with some young boys, and they start to open the door, you always want to encourage that. Thank you, what a gentleman you are. You want to always give that constant, you know, because you want them to be trained and think, oh, this is worth it. It's noticeable to people. It's pleasing, you know, pleasing to God. So everyone must always be proactive in helping children learn those manners and that type of thing. I know when I work in the nursery, it's also if they ask for more snack, you know, may I have some more water, please. They may say more water or something, but I make them repeat the whole phrase. You know, it's not can I have some more? Can means you're physically able. May means you're asking permission. May I have some more water, please? Now, I don't give it to them until they say that, if they're old enough, you know, the 3-year-olds. But also when you play with them, you know, whether you're doing a little kitchen thing or whatever you're having, and you say, thank you, you know. And then you notice if they're helping another child or building something together, look how kind you're being. You want to fill their minds all the time with that type of good behavior, so then that's what they're thinking. Oh, this is, because it brings peace, it brings joy, it brings all those things. We also want that, like, not only in the nursery environment, but our homes and when we're out visiting guests and all those type of things. So that's one of my pledges to you guys, is be proactive, even with other people's children and that type of thing, always encouraging, constant, because it's a consistent, all the time. I know some other examples, even when I worked nursery a couple weeks ago, afterwards, Kyene had little Davy come up. He was one of the last ones to leave because they were at Sunday school. And she's like, tell Miss Mary, thank you. And then she said, and say, have a good day. And she was trying to tell him, look at Miss Mary. So I, you know, got down on my knees so I could be eye level and to make it, to help him obey. You know, I kind of get in his face. I don't know, like this, but. But, you know, and that's what he said. Thank you, Miss Mary. Have a good day. And I'm like, you have a good day too, Davy. You know, it's, they need to see that. Because I know it's tough on your moms when you're constantly telling your children, say goodbye, say thank you, say hello, that type of thing. But it has to be all the time. You can't slack ever. I know even we have a lot of kids come to our home group. And so even this past Sunday night, as Angie Brown was leaving with little Noah and Oliver, you know, out on the front porch, the same type of thing. Noah really didn't want to look at me or whatever, but Angie's like, tell Miss Mary thank you. And it was the same type of thing. I got down, and then it should be all of us feeding into them. I'm glad you played nicely. Thank you today. Thank you for obeying me. You know, always being grateful, appreciating, you know, that type of thing. And also, it's manners, and you'll see listed in some of these about cleaning up after yourself. And I've seen all you moms, like in nursery, okay, help clean up. All those, you're always teaching manners. And then even helping your child go put the Legos away or that type of thing. So we have so many opportunities, not only here at church, but hopefully you're that same dialogue at home with your children when it's playtime over and now it's nap time. Help mommy clean up. We can't take a nap till everything's put away, or, you know, before daddy comes home from work. Daddy's gonna be home. Let's get the house tidy and ready so we can greet daddy when he comes in the door, you know, and those type of things. So it's constantly the dialogue, constantly training your children. Because you guys have to be the example of it, don't you? Even in your voice, the gentleness and kindness and that type of thing. There's a lot of manners that you can tell people haven't been trained or realize. So it makes you all the more conscientious. That's why it's kind of nice to look over lists and things. On Monday night, we had Matthew's mother turn 86 for her birthday, so we had all the relatives over. And we had the food on the table. And we did say grace, but my brother-in-law just started eating right away. And does anybody know what part of the table manners is concerning that?
You wait for the hostess to start eating first.
Right. You wait for that hostess to take a first bite. Mm. Oh, you guys didn't know that?
No. I guess maybe it's Russian culture. You kind of serve everybody, and then like, you're usually the last. So,
to sit down. Oh.
Yeah, you're worried about everybody else, so you're not the first. Yeah. I don't know, but that's kind of how it was there.
Interesting.
Yeah, I never
had
that.
Yeah. So that would be nice, I guess. That would be nice. Everyone else is starving.
Oh, sit down.
Well, and that's where it's nice if you know people are conscientious of that type of manner,
yeah.
Is you tell them, please go ahead and eat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's typically, you know,
yeah.
What it's going to say. I want to say, I think that's on here, at the table. No, I guess it doesn't say wait till, but I read through a lot of manners these past weeks.
okay, God, I needed this because I've been slapped in a lot of different manners.
Well, and I know growing up, we didn't have a lot of it. So just like when Alex and I got married, I'm like, okay, we need to work now on more pleases and thank you for dinner, honey. You know, thank you for taking out the trash, like little things
yes.
like that. So I'm like, so we get in the habit of it more now. And then, you know, now that we have Maya, we're just trying to.
Yes, because she'll learn from you guys and then it'll be natural for her.
Exactly.
Yes.
I was going to say, I typically serve Bobby first before I serve anyone else. But when guests are over, do I serve the guests first and then Bobby? Or do I always serve Bobby first?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. I think what we've done in our home is guests
first.
Okay.
Like if we have
because
a
Bobby's, Bobby's part of the host
okay.
as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the same way, like in introducing, it's always the older or the person more important that you would say their name first,
okay.
you know, especially when you're introducing to your kids. And we had to train all our children in that type of thing, especially like if it's somebody's parent or somebody. This is the neighbor. This is Mr. Grazer. This is my son, Mason. Mason, this is Mr. Grazer, as you say first. And then they're supposed to reach out, eye contact. We always taught our kids a firm handshake. Did anybody know the manners of a woman should put their hand out first? Because a man should never, you know, if you're greeting somebody, a lot of women don't like it. It wasn't polite or whatever for women to shake hands back in the culture of the day. So it should be a woman's assertiveness to put out their hand. Otherwise, a man will not put their hand out for you. So I try to train my daughters in that as well. When somebody, when you're, even if, you know, whatever environment you're introduced, you make sure you do put your hand out. You make sure you do the lean forward, the eye contact, the greeting, the warmness, you know, to love that person. It's all the love others type of thing. Because Matthew was put in that position all the time because there's some women in his business or whatever, and he'll be introduced, but he's like, I'm not going to put out my hand unless they do. And then sometimes they might think, oh, he's rude. He didn't put out his hand. I'm always going to train my daughters so they never put a man in an awkward position in that way. This manners go deep and deep and deeper. And like you said, a lot of it's cultural things and that type of stuff. But we want to get down to the child part as well. There's that last list again. As I saw all these lists, I thought, oh, these look pretty good too. So I decided to put some out for you. General manners in the home, practice manners at mealtime, having guests in your home, being a guest, and general manners out and about. Under general manners in the home, the number 12, write thank you notes. This is a nice way when you receive gifts or presents from people. As you guys know, handwritten notes are so nice, but when you get them from young people or from, I know we gave away a lot of Mason's clothes, and I think 4 different young guys were able to benefit from some of Mason's hand-me-downs. And again, I'll put in the rug for Ryan Walsh because he's so polite. He's the only one of the 4 that wrote me a personal thank you note. Oh, I love these clothes. Thank you. It was great. I'm like, bless my heart. And if you make it for your children young, a constant habit, even of writing little love notes, maybe to daddy and that type of thing. One thing I still see my children do now in adulthood, because I have other people call or comment, is when you're a guest in someone's home, we always wrote a little note to put under the pillow, knowing eventually they're going to change the sheets, or in their bathroom or whatever, just another, as well as writing one afterwards. But I have found my children have done that for me. They'll come home for a break or something, and I'll find little love notes in different places, and it's like, and even Mason, when he left Monday morning, he got up at 5:30 in the morning and left to go back to school. And Matthew and I were still in bed, and he wrote us a little love note, thank you note on the kitchen counter. And I'm like, oh, you want to train your children for that type of consideration, just making the time to express and say and those type of things. But if you don't model that with them growing up, they won't do it as adulthood, probably. They won't even think about it. So it's always, how can I bless others? How can I be? And it's that gratefulness. It's that
exactly.
being thankful.
Say, because as they get older, I think they do get that gratefulness to you as a parent. Because we're getting that now with Joel, you know, being far away and Joel. And it's, and then these long notes. Now he has these little skinny pens, and he writes about as big as those. So Joe and I not only have these, of the car. And what he does is, thank you for what you taught. Thank you for what you're going. Thank you, God. Because sometimes you wonder, and you don't hear it, you wonder when you...
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And it shows them gratefulness.
And a consideration. You're considering others before yourself. The having guest in your home, number 24, offer to take the coat or facilitate them with a seat. But also there's the, not just guest in your home, but one thing I notice that's lacking among a lot of children, if there's not enough seats in a room, the children give it up for adults. And I've seen some cases where a child will stay in a seat, even when a much older person, you know, when there's not enough seats available. So sometimes I think that's a missed manner, because that child can easily sit on the floor in front of their parent or whatever, if it's an assembly type of thing and that type of thing. So quite often that seems to be a one missed. We already talked about the introduction and leaving a note. So those, again, these are just for you to be reading at home for real practical things. And there's much more. Boy, if you get on... is it Pinterest? But when I was looking through, man, I was getting ready for this, those types of things, so I joined Pinterest, and then I'm like, oh, how do you pin? How do you do anything? But there is so many charts for, you know, and some good biblical stuff, too, that it's like, wow. And then doing a search even for, like, this little Bible study, there's a lot of good, all these books, you know, and even... under Christian context, lots of, and sometimes that's helpful to have a kind of a book, a curriculum, because you don't know what you're hitting or missing sometimes, or sometimes of your own blindness. Sometimes it's good to review that type of thing and even have a checkoff list. And I meant to try to find there's charts, and I didn't grab the right book, but to do an evaluation with your children. Now, this would be when they're a little older and have specific examples. And what Matthew and I would do sometimes with our children growing up is have these charts, make them go rate themselves. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think you stand with kindness? Where do you think you stand with this? Then Matthew would do it separately, and I would do it separately, and then we'd get together to talk about it. But it would add other characteristics like, are they pay attention to detail? And a lot of times then this had to do, you know, with homeschool work and that type of thing. Do they have good follow through? Do they finish what they start? You know, it listed a lot of that type of thing.
I was just going to add too, I know we've talked about this in the past, like under like hospitality and stuff, but just in terms of like having people over to your home, I think you should be conscientious about your goal in having them over is to refresh them and bless them and, you know, just kind of get to know them better and how you can pray for them. And so... we should all be very aware of and careful to not be like apologizing for everything like happening in our home, because then you're putting the other person in an awkward situation where they have to kind of come over the top and like affirm you, and that's not your goal. It shouldn't be about you. They're coming in, you're making it comfortable and hospitable for them, and like, anything else that, you know, like if you forgot to wipe down your fridge or something in front of your fridge, like they're probably not going to notice, but don't make them feel uncomfortable. Draw that to attention.
Yes.
That's not your goal in hosting them. So I think that's a part of being polite also, where you're not, you know, making yourself the focus. This is truly about you and how can I serve you and bless you in this.
And that's even an error I make. Sometimes even in preparation, there was a part of me that wanted to come with an excuse, you know, and I'm like, no, you can't have excuses. This was, you know, God's plan or all that type of thing. And the same thing with people, especially surprise visitors at home. I want to apologize for the dog hair and apologize. And it's like, no, I don't need to do that. This is the way we live. This is, you know, okay. It's, so that's been hard lessons for me, and it's still a learning process. But that's a very good point, Lisa. It's also being mindful when people are in your home, and it's gathering all the facts or information, because sometimes you might be the guest in someone else's home and certain things happen, but you're only hearing one side. It's having those type of considerations too, as far as manners and that type of thing are concerned. I use these booklets with my kids. These are, each one of these booklets polite moments. This one is visiting other families, working for others, and how to be a servant. And like I did this one when Mallory was 8. I always wrote to him. We did this in 2001. Mallory was 8, Marissa was 6, and Mason was 4. And then I usually wrote on the top the dates of when we did them. But we did these as once a day, and we'd read through and we'd look through the, train yourself to eat things that you don't like, always be thankful, always use people's names. Do not cause fear to an older or weaker person. That's a definite good manners in church when kids are running away, afterwards or that type of thing. It's being mindful. So we always had lots of good examples. Do nothing to draw attention to yourself. Isn't that, sometimes you have the kids with that personality. Oh, look at me, I'm doing this or that. And people don't think of that as not being polite or manners. It's truly. And the disadvantage for that child is they keep growing up and they want all the attention. Mm-hmm. And that can bring lots of baggage later. And they'll be constantly disappointed because it's all about them, isn't it? Kind of one of the points Lisa just made. Always be clean and neat. Again, a lot of these things are standards you'll set in your home, even to come to the table. Did you wash your hands, before you sit down to the table? Much consistency. So then they start automatically doing those types of things. Go out of your way to find ways to help others. You can do that as a family. You're teaching and training that. Even if you make a meal for someone, if you're able to take your children along and say, oh, they just had a baby. You help me. You help carry this, or you carry the flowers and we'll take it in. It's always making them a part of what you're doing. Give your mother flowers. show strong character to the outside world. Look at people when you are talking with them. It's all types of things. Never interrupt. Who knows on the... There's a lot of different curriculums that have taught this about when children, it happens a lot here at church. Adults are talking and the children need to answer a question. Do you guys have a way that you've taught your children? Chris, you have such young children. Anyway, some people call it the appeal process. They come up, they put their hand on their mom, because they don't want to interrupt, but they've acknowledged to their mother, I want to speak to you, I have a question, but they won't interrupt. So then that mother knows, okay, the child's touching me, and gets to the point, and then can say politely to their friend, just a minute, please. What is your question? Type of thing. But the child needs to learn not to interrupt, not to come say, Mommy, Johnny did this, or whatever. Not Johnny.
Johnny just had the name of Joe. I'll just tell you right now. Okay. Yeah. Did something.
Oh, that's
funny.
But that'll happen a lot when your kids start talking. That's when you start training. When they are able to interrupt, then you start training them, on that, having that type of manners. Between these, there's 86 different things. Even if you broke something, how should you handle that? Safety. Let's go visit Aunt soon. Even phone manners. Answering the phone and that type of thing. I know all your kids. But it's something, you've got small children, but these are things you need to be preparing for, and they'll be here before you know it at that point. I know in any age, you should always be looking long-term goal, of course. How do you want them as an adult? But even in your own personal studies for child training and that type of thing, you should always be educating yourself ahead of the process. Yes, Susie.
I was going to say with social, the way we communicate changing, even you said have manners on the telephone, I noticed that a lot of young children, especially ones that are into texting, don't know how to communicate, and they're so socially awkward. And I now see it's affecting the millennials. Even if I go to the grocery store, the people who bag my groceries, just interactions with these younger folks, they really are so awkward. It's did you forget how to communicate with another human being? And so I'm seeing this, I'm thinking, geez, if it's like this now, Johnny's only 2.5, what's it gonna be like in 10 years when, technology is just advanced? So what would you say we could be on guard for to watch for how they communicate, how they socialize?
Well, and also putting a limit on the technology, type of thing. Even if you're sitting down at the table, nobody touch phones, nobody, you know, it's funny how we have to almost make rules like that now for just social graces. But what you'll also need to train your child in is helping others, just like we talked about, like the teens able to say things to each other. Because Jelani, as he grows up, is going to find more and more of those awkward. But if he's been trained with the skills of communication, he can help others, you know, from their awkwardness type of thing. And that's, to me, the beauty of the Christian home environment is we're also training them how to help others or how to influence others. And you know then our children will be the one to be raised up kind of as leaders or that type of thing.
And I think, too, it's just like solidifying, it's a choice that they're, these are choices that they're making. Mm-hmm. It's a difference between when, you know, and like this happened to me like the other day, and this nice older, old man opened the door for me, like at Publix or something, or it was some context where he had to open the door, so not Publix, because they have automatic doors, but.
We're all doing that, you know.
And instead of, like, I thought to myself, instead of just being like, I could have just been like, thanks, and just like walked in. I literally, in that moment, thought, okay, I need to say thank you. I'm going to look him in the eye and I'm going to smile at him because that is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And yes. I'm like, I haven't made this enough of a habit in my life where I, it's just like automatically, I'm like, hey, thank you so much. But like, it's a kind of a goal. It's definitely a goal for the new year, just in terms of just increasing, you know, because I'm hyper aware of it now that my kids are getting older and I'm seeing them in situations where I'm just like, oh, what, like, why did they interact with that adult like that? Or why are they being like so impolite like in that situation? So I'm like, okay, I need to model it. But I think it's that, it's you have a choice. Just because you're of that age group and you're going into the, you know, in 10 years you'll be in this age bracket, doesn't mean you have to act like all the other kids. Like you have choices to make. And so I think just kind of putting the weight of that on them and like you're your own person in the sense that you can choose to do make the right choices and live for the Lord. And so yeah, that's just really, it's really important. And it's just really rewarding for you too, like when you're in those situations and you make right choices, you will be blessed also, because then you have the joy of just,
I like how you said too, like it's not a robotic thing, like everyone just said thanks and walked in, because people do bit on like a robotic like person, they're not communicating, smiling,
right,
looking up, eye contact. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you teach them to have conversations as well, young.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, I enjoy these girls that's going to come over from home group, and I'm able to be with them. And it's like, I love having conversations with children. So you want them, give them opportunities where they are with adults. I know I babysit for Meg. Even the other day, she had a dentist appointment and things. And sometimes I'll go ahead and stay if Joshua and Chloe are napping for her to run and get Caleb and Eli. And they'll come home and, you know, help them be, Meg will try to make sure that they'll say hello or whatever. But then they'll want to play or whatever, but I'm asking questions. So then Meg has to say, Miss Mary is, you know, but then I'll make sure I get in their environment or sit down to ask them about their school day, what they're learning, that type of thing. And they're good about, you know, but it also takes Meg's effort and then my effort. They need to have conversations and they need to articulate about, you know, answering and that type of thing. So,
and I think people who are selfish are not trained to ask questions that are going to draw the other person out. They're asking questions like, oh, hey, did you see that game last night or whatever? Like all those type of questions, things that are going to satisfy just their own curiosity, but not questions that are intentionally like, hey, how are you guys doing? How has the transition been to the new job? Just stuff like that where it's like, it's going to spark them to talk and not you're dominating the conversation and you only ask questions when you want to have your curiosity satisfied. There's a huge difference between a selfish person asking questions and a person who's intentionally seeking to communicate with others.
And someone who only will talk about themselves,
mm-hmm,
type of thing. And that's a self-focus as well. Because it's easier to talk more, you know,
yes,
than try to ask a deeper rooted question or draw out or,
right,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that training starts at home,
mm-hmm,
as well, in preparing them. And then purposefully providing those type of opportunities to do that. And as you know, your kids, you constantly do this training at home, and you might see lots of effort, and you might go somewhere, and your kids are absolutely horrible. I told Meg when she texted me this morning, I said, I was going to pick on you. Because Meg said, I think, was she at your house recently or something? And she said, her kids were so horrible. I mean, she just said more than usual, and just even for her and Jake, just shocked at the bad behavior and all these type of things. So those are all learning opportunities, you know, for everyone involved. And it's a long-term thing. Yes, we're going to, even as we see each other, you know, women, we're all being transformed. We're all growing and that type of thing. But. Okay, other questions or other real practical, the last couple minutes. Most of this stuff was just for you to read at home. And it's also out of the, teaching your children just out of the blue to bless others. I know just the other day I got a text from my daughter, Marissa, and she said, Mom, I was thinking about you, and she's a music therapist, so she uses music to bless people. But she recorded herself singing one of my favorite songs on the guitar, so just in the middle of the blue during the day, it's like, oh, thank you, you made my day. But the fact that she was conscientious and just out of the blue, oh, I'm going to, you know, do this for Mom type of thing. That's, you need that spontaneity, you know, for your own children, trying to model that, and it's neat if they'll continue to bless you as they are adults and doing those types of things. Pardon me?
You get blessed, too.
Yes, like, yes.
Even right down to those little bitmojis that Joy and Susie taught me, you know. Joy, and it looks like Joy. It has a big eyeball and a big heart.
It's almost like she's right there with you.
I know, it really is. It's a blessing. You just can, and I like the way you said faithful. As we are faithful, the Lord will really bless that. And it goes right back to our relationship with the Lord. You know, making sure you're in the Word of God every day. So, any other questions on manners or boy, girl?
And also asking your kids for them when you aren't, you know, when you do sin against them and that type of thing.
That's huge. Being,
yes, it is.
That shows you're modeling humility to them. What a long step. So, it's huge.
And it is truly starting from the nursing, you know, the day the baby comes home, you know, all that. Well, I think it starts in the womb because the baby can sense your moods and your
That's right.
And that type of thing. All right, well, let me close this in prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that shows us the type of character we need to be faithful in instilling in our children for your honor and glory. And I do pray even now for all of our children, whether they're nursing babies or whether they're adults or even the grandchildren to come, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that they will see us model godly behavior, godly character, knowing that you give us everything we need for life and godliness, your grace, your power. Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So may that be our example, and we pray for the salvation of all these children, that they may know you, and they may see their need as they struggle with their own selfishness to not have good manners and to be self-focused, that they may humble themselves, repent, and believe on you, and see their need for you, and such joy in Christ and Christ alone. So thank you for these ladies. May they leave here today being able to model those things in teaching and training their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
If you guys could remember, my daughter-in-law, Hope, she is in labor right now. So.
Thank you.